While you just continue to just consider the greatness of God and the awesomeness of His Son saving you, just the ushers are going to pass around the offering bag. And so let's be practical in our thanksgiving and our worship of God. Let's worship Him with our finances. Let's give, as Tim said, freely and out of love and out of sometimes sacrifice. But it's not a sacrifice when we realize that He's made the greatest sacrifice, and there's nothing more that we can do. So let's just give to God in worship. Let's not talk now. Let's not move around. Let's just keep worshiping. When you're finished giving, just close your eyes and continue to just focus on the awesomeness of God.
When I was praying now and when Alistair was talking, I saw a picture of when you're like in the bush and stuff and you make a fire, and later the evening when you're not putting wood on anymore, the ashes and stuff starts packing on the red coals and the fire starts dying, but the fire of the Lord never dies like that warm coals in the middle. And the Lord just wants us to shake off that ashes and put a few small sticks on it just to light up that fire, so we can build a new big fire in our lives that's built through Him with that coals that stayed in our hearts and in our spirit. And the Lord will never die in us. That coals will never die, because there's always a thing. If we gave our hearts to the Lord, He will always be there. Nothing can take that away from us.
Guys, I want us to pray right now with this revelation of our own salvation. I really want us to, you can put up that slide of Jannie de Beer, please, Mariska. I really want us to pray for friends and family that you could possibly invite on the 2nd of November. This is something we didn't ask for. I just want to share quickly how Jannie de Beer is going to come to us, because I didn't ask for it. I don't know if you guys remember Mayan Subrayan, the Indian guy that wrote P.S. Peace's book, and he's just written Chad Leclos's book. That Indian guy that talked about, you know, what was his joke again about a boer maak 'n plan, maar hy het 'n Indiër nodig om dit uit te voer, of so iets, you know, like he's got that funny, he's really a legend, a motivational speaker, and really loves God, got saved out of Hinduism. But he was going to come, I said to mine, when you're coming to Bloom, I want you to preach at our church again. And so he said the 2nd of November he's coming, and then when I next heard, I got a phone call from a guy in Doxa, Nathan Pillay. Some of you who've been to Doxa or know Doxa, Nathan Pillay phoned me and he said, "Do you want Jannie de Beer to come to your church on the 2nd of November?" I was like, "Bring him on." I mean, why do we get him? Why doesn't he go to a bigger church? And then he just said, no, he's coming to Doxa to launch his book there and everything, but he can't preach on the Sunday because they've got other guys preaching there. And so, do you want him in the evening? And I said, "Awesome. We've got students, we've got young people, so please." And so God has literally given this opportunity to us to send a legend of rugby who's got saved. He's got an awesome testimony about how his father got restored, him and his father's relationship got restored to him. And he's writing his book, and he's launching his book that weekend here in Bloemfontein. So I really want us to just turn to groups of two or three and pray for specific people that you know would need to be here that Sunday. Maybe it's rugby players, maybe it's sports people, maybe it's someone that doesn't even know who Jannie de Beer is, because it's not about Jannie de Beer, it's about Jesus. And I know Jannie has got an awesome testimony, and he loves the Lord, and he's going to share his testimony that night. And so it's an opportunity for us. I know it's exams, and I know you just want to go home at the end of the year, but guys, the kingdom must come. Amen. And people must get saved. Okay. Is anyone excited about that? And so we've got this opportunity. It's not about us. Okay. It's not about shofar, but it's about Jesus being glorified. Okay. So let us pray specifically right now for one, even if it's just one person or a group of people that you know you can invite. So let's not invite. I don't mind if other church people come. That's great. But let's invite people who don't come to church. Maybe they're Christians, but they're not slotted into a church, or they don't go to church. But let's invite unchurched people, okay? Let's really pray for unchurched people in our classrooms, our workplaces, wherever. But let's really intercede for that week. If we don't pray and we don't get excited, then God can't move. Okay, He's not going to use one man to invite the world. He's going to use us to invite the world. Okay, He's just Yanni's just a draw card. Okay, rugby players tend to be draw cards sometimes. Okay, because everyone watches rugby. We get masses of people on a Saturday watching rugby, but in church you don't see lots of people. Eh? So, and God wants to bring people to His presence. Amen. So let's just pray. But name names now. Go pray for specific people that you know. If you can't think of anyone, that's fine. Just pray and ask God to show you someone that you could invite that Sunday. Okay, and let's really get excited about it. But let's invite people like this week. It doesn't help inviting people, you know, on the 1st of November. Okay, people make plans. People write exams. People have got study plans. So let's put that side out. We're going to have a short service. It's not going to be long. It's going to be an hour and a half. We're going to have a test. We're going to have worship, a testimonies, and we're going to make an altar call, and we're going to have coffee afterwards and have a lack of time in God's presence. Amen. So let's really pray for that Sunday, but pray specifically for people. Okay, so if you can just turn into groups of two or three, and let's really ask God to draw his people to himself. Amen. Father, tonight we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to invite people into your presence. Thank you for the amazing, just the divine appointment, Lord, that you send Yanni here to Bloemfontein, Lord, where he grew up and where he can just share what you've done in his life. And we want to thank you for the 2nd of November. We want to thank you for that Sunday night, Lord. We thank you that you draw people to yourself, God. And we just want to say, God, that we want to redeem the time, Lord. You say in your word that the time is short, Lord. And we want to redeem the time. And we know some people's lives are hanging in the balance at this time, God. And we pray in this next 3 weeks, God, that you would connect us supernaturally to divine appointments, to specific people that need to be here. God, I pray that you would help us to see the people that need your salvation, that need your love, that need your life, God. This evening, we want to intercede for them. We want to pray for the specific people that you will prepare, God. And we know by faith right now, we know you will prepare their hearts for that evening. But Lord, I pray that we'll do our bit, Lord, that we'll be diligent, Lord, that we'll be excellent in praying for people, in speaking to people, in preparing people's hearts, God. So I thank you, Lord, that exams will not hold us back, Lord. I thank you that stress and fear of man will not hold us back at this time. But I thank you, Lord, for a harvest. God, we trust you for a harvest of souls, God, because your heart is for people. And so thank you that people are important to you and that people count, God, and we want to bring them in. We want to open these doors of the school, Lord, in Jesus' name. We want to open the doors of this hall so everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome, Lord, in Jesus' name. And so we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And we pray that your kingdom would come through this, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray that you would do mighty things, that you would touch people, Lord, that night, that you would save people, God, that you would heal people and deliver people. We trust you, Holy Spirit, to move mightily. And we pray this in the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm excited this evening. Just turn to someone next to you and tell them that I can see that smile on your face. It's like getting there. It's almost getting there. Okay. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. I don't know about you, but this is, God loves church. Amen. God loves us coming together in his presence like this. God loves what is happening here. Amen. And sometimes I said it this morning, sometimes we get very blasé about church and we like, we do the Sunday thing and we don't get excited about church. We don't get excited about the fellowship of the believers. And God is excited about you coming here tonight. Amen. God is excited about you meeting him and hearing his voice tonight. So I trust that you will be impacted tonight. Amen. Because this evening I'm going to talk about choose life. Okay. My topic is choose life. That was the theme of the conference. We had an amazing time down in Stellenbosch, and I want to encourage you, I want you to write this date down, 1st to 4th of October 2015. Okay, don't miss it. 1st to 4th of October 2015, make plans now. Study ahead if you've got to study ahead, okay? Like, don't let your studies hold you back or anything hold you back from coming. Convergence was awesome. Who went to Convergence, by the way? Just a couple of people, yeah. We had a good representation there. We had 15 or I think 16 people from Bloom went. That was really cool. So I want to thank you guys, the guys that went and those who prayed. And God did awesome stuff. And we had a pastor summit this last week. We spent time in Franschhoek with all the pastors. And God really did amazing things. And it's an exciting season, guys. It's really an exciting season. God is taking us to the next level, like he always does every year, from glory to glory. And so tonight I just want to talk about just a scripture that the Lord gave me this week. And, when it comes to choosing, many times we make choices, but it's not a choice based on revelation or conviction. Many times we make choices in life and it's an emotional choice or it's a circumstantial choice because circumstances dictate it. But I want to say tonight that when you make a choice based on revelation or conviction, then God really moves. Amen. When you make a choice based on his revelation in your life, then he can move. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Choosing life based on a revelation of nothing other than who Jesus Christ is. I want to ask you this evening, who is Jesus in your life? If I have to ask you, what is your revelation of Jesus? What would you say? What would you tell someone? What is your revelation of Jesus? My revelation of Jesus is much greater now than when I first got saved, okay? So your revelation of Jesus will grow, but it's important to know Right now, where you at? What is your revelation of Jesus Christ? Now, I'll never forget when I was, you know, when I was down in Stellenbosch again, and when I was in Franschhoek especially, I was reminded about, because Esther and I got married in Franschhoek, so it's got quite a romantic connotation to it. It's a beautiful place. And so I was reminded, I was driving there that morning, on Monday morning, going to the summit, and I just thought, sure, you know, 7 years, we've been married for almost 7 years, 3 cities and 3 children later, okay, what a journey, okay. But I was just reminded of that, and then when I was in Stellenbosch, I was reminded of this one story where, when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was so excited, I was on fire for the Lord Jesus, because when I got saved, I kind of got half saved, okay, because I gave my life to Jesus and I knew I was going to heaven, but I could never testify about him. I could never tell other people about him. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit 9 years later, I just experienced this fire in me and this passion to just see the kingdom come. And so I was running with this one guy, and he was my running partner. He was a bit better than me, but we were going for a jog one afternoon, and I just knew I must ask this guy, because I've known him for a while now, but it's time that I ask him, where is he standing with Jesus, you know? So I thought to myself, I'm going to ask him this. I'm going to say to him, so we were running there, and I say to him, Pete, his name is Pete. I said, Pete, I did this in Afrikaans, obviously. I said, do you know the greatest man who's ever walked this earth? That's what I asked him. Do you know the greatest man that's ever walked this earth? And so I was wondering how he's going to respond, you know, because I thought maybe he'll think I'm weird or I don't know, but God had been moving in his life, and so it was a divine appointment because I just added to what God was already speaking to him. Because he said, I suppose he almost looked a little bit awkward, but he says, you're talking about Jesus, eh? So I said, yeah. And he says, it's interesting that you say that because someone else asked me that question just like a week ago or, you know, a couple of days previously. Someone else asked him also about where he stands with Jesus. And so I thought, praise God, you know. And it was so interesting because we prayed for him and we invited him to small group one night, and he actually gave his life to the Lord. He actually got saved in small group. It was so awesome. Hey, people don't only have to get saved in church, they can get saved in cell group as well. So he gave his life in cell, and we were all excited because we were a bunch of passionate guys really praying for people to get saved. And so he got saved, and then we invited him to the first encounter, the foundation one, and he did that. And then sort of things changed after that. And he said to me, listen, yeah, we were sitting one day. And I said to him, how did you experience it? And don't you want to go to the encounter too? And don't you want to, you know, get involved and grow more and walk a discipleship path with me or whatever? And then he said, you know what? And he was a drinker at that stage, okay? He was like a party animal. He was a fit guy, but he used to go out on a Friday night and drink. And I don't know how drunk he got, but sometimes he used to wake up that next morning, not even wake up. He would go straight from the pub, put on his running clothes, and run a 10K race, okay? He was like a bit of a freak. I don't know how he did that. So when we went to championship races, we just told him, Pete, like, you need to go to sleep early tonight, okay? Because we need your best tomorrow, okay? And his best was often better than all of us. I mean, his worst was often better than our best. But we wanted him to, like, win races, you know? But so he told me, no, you know what? He's actually not really ready to give up his drinking lifestyle and his party. He knows that this cost of following Jesus is going to cost him too much. He's not quite ready to. He likes his partying and he likes his going out, and he's not quite ready to give that up. So I was a bit saddened, but I thought, you know, that's fine. You know, people make choices and they count the cost, which is good. And I heard I heard later on that he had been through quite hectic times where he'd almost lost his life a couple of times. The one time he decided to go and hike up the mountain there in Stellenbosch, and he fell from a cliff or something, fell quite hard, and he was kind of almost paralyzed, not quite paralyzed, but he couldn't move. He could just move his arm, and if his cell phone hadn't fallen, I don't know how you hike on your own like that. That's a bit stupid. So, but his cell phone fell literally in the rock next to him, like literally an arm's length away, where he could just move his arm, pick up his cell phone, and phone someone for help. Because if he hadn't had a cell phone, he would have died. And he had another experience where he was like kidnapped because he was going out and he was drunk, and then people took him to the township and threatened him with knives. And anyway, this guy was like someone with 9 lives, okay? It was like this cat with 9 lives. He should have died a couple of times. But I knew that God, when I heard those stories, I knew God has got this guy and he will eventually commit to following Jesus fully. But the fact is, God loves him and God is not going to let him die until he knows him in his fullness. But the point of my story is this. The point of my story is that, what is our revelation of Jesus Christ? Because it's that revelation that you will share with someone else. Amen. Often we share revelation that's, it's theoretical. You know, it's in your mind. So you share theory. You don't share experience. You don't share practical life experience. And And I want to read the scripture from Acts chapter 3, because any of you guys heard of a guy called Peter? Any of you, there's a guy called Peter in the Bible. He's like kind of there somewhere, you know. Quite a prominent figure, actually. Quite a follower of Jesus, I would say. But at the start of his life, he was keen to walk on water, and then he failed, and Jesus lifted him up again. He was keen to follow Jesus passionately, but when Jesus went to the cross, he said, "Oh no, I don't know this Jesus." He denied him 3 times. Then he wept out of absolute remorse, realizing that he denied this man who'd so loved him and walked with him. And then it was the same Peter that walked away from Jesus after the cross when he had risen from the dead, and Jesus said, "Listen, yeah, are you going to go back to fishing?" And he went back to fishing, and Jesus said, "Listen, yeah, you've got to follow me. You've got to feed my sheep." He said to him 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, I do love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." It was the same Peter that wrote the scripture and that had this revelation of Jesus Christ, because I think he went through a couple of ups and downs. He was a very emotional guy. But this revelation that he had of Jesus really tells me something about what he experienced of Jesus. And so let's read together from Acts chapter 3. And this scripture now, it's just where Peter and John have gone up to the temple. They went to pray and they saw this lame man, this beggar, lying next to the sort of the just in front of the temple door there. And he was there for many years. And so Peter and John, and then he was begging them, and he said, "Please give me some money. Give me some money," like he would do to everyone going into the temple. And Peter and John just told him, "Listen, yeah, we don't have money. But what we do have, we're going to give to you right now. We're going to speak to that lameness and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And this guy walked. And there was like this huge, like amazing stuff happened. Like there was this miracle, and people were like, "Who is this? What has happened?" And so, yeah, he's caused quite a stir, and all the crowd is coming, and they're thinking, "Is this the same guy that was begging? Look, he's leaping and praising God and jumping up and down. What is happening?" And so there was this, people were like almost wanting to worship them. So this is where the scripture picks up in Acts chapter 3 from verse 11. "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?'" And so now Peter's preaching to these people, and he's gonna use this opportunity. This is an awesome opportunity, because that's what miracles do. You see, miracles draw attention to God. Often they draw attention to people, but if we don't give the glory back to God, then we're in a dangerous place. But Peter luckily didn't draw attention to himself, and he was telling these people, "Listen here, it's not about me. Why do you think that I'm so special?" And then he starts to really tell them the revelation, and he says the following. He says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and he asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.' And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Then he ends off like this, and he says, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from your iniquities." And so if we read on, we'll see that after his preaching, there was much response. There was much reaction. Some people started to say, "Listen, now we've got to tie these people up. We've got to put them in jail now. They can't preach like this." But it actually says that many people, 5,000 men, were saved out of that testimony. So there must have been quite a lot of people listening to Peter at the time. There was a definite response to Peter's preaching. There was a response to the revelation that he had of Jesus Christ. And tonight I just want to mention four things. And there's lots of things we can talk about the scripture and get out of the scripture. But I just want to mention four things which I believe the Lord just wants to highlight to us this evening. And I trust that you would contemplate this and that you would think about this in terms of your own revelation of who Jesus is in your life. And the first thing is in verse 13. It's where Peter starts and he says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus." See, Jesus Christ, and he starts off like this. Peter starts off like this. Doesn't start off at the beginning. He actually turns the time around and he goes back in time. And the first thing he mentions to these people is that Jesus has been glorified. Because that's the last Peter saw of Jesus. That's the last he saw of him. He went up into heaven and was like, "Whoa, okay, we've got to wait now. Jesus said we must wait." But that was the last he saw. He saw Jesus being lifted up to heaven and being glorified. And you see, I believe this is one of the first revelations that we must have of Jesus, is that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Can I have at least three amen? If he wasn't, we'd be in trouble, amen? If Jesus wasn't sitting on the throne and having been glorified, you know what? We would have a shaky faith, I would say. We wouldn't have much to stand on if Jesus wasn't glorified today in our lives. So Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he reigns. I want to say tonight, he reigns. That is the most, and this week I just realized again that Jesus Christ is King of this church. Jesus is King of my life. But not only that, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's Lord over all. He rules and reigns over every principality and power. Amen. And it's this revelation that Peter told these guys. He said, he has been glorified. Doesn't matter what you did to him. And then he carries on and we'll see now how he sort of breaks down his argument. But it's like we can be like children singing that song. He's got the whole world in his hands, you know. I love it when Matthew sings that song, you know, just to know that, you know, children are amazing. Children just know that God is awesome. When you start to tell them about God, they just believe that God is awesome. And he's in control of the whole world. He's in control no matter what. And he's in control of your life. And that should, from that place of revelation, God should, or you should have this thing of thanksgiving. You should thank God that he's in control. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are, because ultimately, your life isn't so big in the bigger scheme of things. Amen. Ultimately, our lives and our stresses and our worries aren't so big in the bigger scheme of things. Jesus is in control. Matthew prayed last night. It was just so amazing because obviously they were so happy to see me because I got back at 2 o'clock on Saturday morning. And so they woke up that morning and yes, daddy in bed. Like, you know, they expected me to come. So I was supposed to stay over with my parents in Graaffreinet, and we didn't have to drive so far, but then Jacobus and I thought, no, we're going to push through. We're leaving Beaufort West at 9 o'clock. We'll get to Bloom at 2 o'clock. So we surprised my wife. And so last night, he was so thankful. And I praised him. Thank you, Jesus, that daddy's safely back and everything. And then he like, I don't know if you know, yesterday was a bit of a windy day. It was like, you know, it wasn't quite cold. It wasn't quite hot. It was one of those days, like you almost get irritated. Like, is it now hot or cold? And it's windy as well now. You know, when you come from the Cape, wind is just natural. But yeah, in the Free State, we don't like wind. And so it was a windy day. But Matthew just goes, he prays for the day. And he says, you know, thank you, Jesus, that today was a windy day. And thank you that it was not so hot, but it was nice and hot in the sun, but it was cold in the shade, you know, like. And so I just thought, this is like a thankful heart. He's just thankful for the wind. I mean, how many of us say thank you for the wind? Thank you for the thunder? Thank you for the storms? How many of us say thanks for these things that God is in control of? Amen? And so I just thought, this is amazing. We must be like kids and pray these prayers every day and say, thank you, Lord, for the storm in my life. Thank you, Lord, that it's a bit windy. My leaves are being rustled up a little bit. My feathers are being ruffled up here. Thank you, Lord. And then we just go to sleep and we sleep the most peaceful sleep, you know, just like kids do. Because Jesus is glorified. Amen. Some of us are going to get excited tonight. Jesus is in control. But he's not only in control, he reigns. He's king. He's king. So Peter's telling these guys this. Jesus has been glorified. And then he goes on, he says, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life. whom God raised from the dead. Not only is Jesus glorified, not only is he in control and he's ruling and reigning, but Jesus Christ conquered death itself. Amen. Jesus has overcome death. That is just awesome. You know, death brings this weird feeling to us. All of us know we're going to die sometime. I'll never forget when I started to realize, I was in my bed one night and I was just thinking, I was thinking about Paul's writing where Paul said, you know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Where Paul's like so excited to die. He wants to die to be with Jesus, but, you know, Jesus said to him, no, you must just live a little while because you've got work to do. But it was like Paul wasn't afraid of death. And I was in my bed that night and I just had this peace. I didn't ask for it. I was just contemplating on life after death and how's it going to be like to die. And I had like a bit of a fear of death. I was thinking, I don't want to die. And I'm like, I'm not even married yet. And, you know, I still want to be married and have kids and, you know, live a bit like. And then the Lord just came to bring this incredible peace over me. And he truly delivered me from this fear of death. He truly brought me to this place. So if I have to die now, and it's not like I wasn't, you know, I knew I was going to heaven. It wasn't about going to heaven or not. It was just about dying. The fear of death. And Jesus revealed himself to me as the one who's overcome death, who was raised from the dead. When we were driving down on Monday, two weeks ago on Monday night, we drove a little bit, we left a little bit late to go down to the Cape. And we're driving on the N1. It's just under the, I think it's the Church Street off-ramp or the next off-ramp. I don't know. There where they're working on the road and it's double lane and then it becomes single and there's a lot of stuff in the road. And it was dark now, and so we're driving. And suddenly I just see on the middle line there, I just see this thing moving in the road. And it was like, I thought it was a dog or an animal or something. But then I just see this like person lifting up their hand. And it was so, I mean, it gave me 100 k's an hour, so I didn't have much time to look. But it looked like he had like blood over his face. And he's like in the middle of the road. And I look at Esther and say, this guy must have been hit or something. I don't know. He, like, this is like, but then you're just shocked for a while. And you think, what must you do now? You know, must you turn back? Must you tell someone? This guy's going to like get hit by a car and just, you know, die, because it doesn't look like he's dying right. He's dead right now. He's like alive. He's moving. But then that weird feeling comes over you of like death. This is like life and death. This is a weird feeling. It's like this guy could die now. I mean, even seeing an animal die is not such a nice thing. You know, when there's death involved, it's just not cool. It brings in you this weird feeling. But you see, Jesus Christ overcame death itself. And even if we die physically, and guess what? We're all going to die physically. We're all going to die one day. These bodies are going to be no longer. But yet we will not die. Our spirits will not die because we're eternal beings. And you see, Jesus overcame the fear and the sting of death. Death brings a sting to our lives. The thought of death brings the sting and brings not a cool feeling. But you see, Peter was telling these guys, listen here, God raised this man from the dead. He was the first man to be raised from the dead, to conquer the sting of death, the eternal Son of God. Then number three, he carries on and he preaches to these people and he's saying Jesus was glorified, Jesus was raised from the dead. Then he tells them to repent and he says, listen, you guys are the ones who killed this man. You better repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord. Then he says the following, and that he may send Jesus Christ. So he says, listen, I'm going to pray that you repent. I'm preaching now that you repent because Jesus wants to come back to reveal himself to you and to live in your life and to save you. But he says the following about Jesus. He says, this Jesus was preached to you before. So do you see how he's going back in time? He's first saying Jesus was glorified. This is the last thing I saw of him. He was glorified. Then go back in time. He overcame death. He was raised from the dead. And then go even further back in time. Jesus has been revealed not only as a man on the earth. He came to walk this earth. But you know what? Jesus was revealed from the beginning. He's been there throughout Scripture. He was revealed through the Word. He was revealed through the prophets. And he was just been revealed. I was a witness, Peter said. I walked with this man. I saw this man. I saw how he conquered death. I saw how he was glorified. And he told me all things. It's the same Peter that writes that he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter, I think it is, Tim. Is it in 2 Peter 1 or 1 Peter 2 something? I think it's 2 Peter, first chapter. He says, Jesus has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus has been revealed throughout the ages. Amen. And you know what the great thing is? Jesus wants to reveal himself to the world through us. Jesus will continue to reveal himself. He hasn't stopped revealing himself. He's revealing himself to the world continuously. As we sit here today, he's busy revealing himself to people right now. And just remember now that Peter Pollock, the guy who preached the gospel and I gave my life to the Lord, he tells his story where his wife got saved and he was very anti-Christian and he went, his wife used to go to church and he used to tell her, listen, yeah, just leave the kids out of it. And he was very like hard towards her and everything. And she used to cry and really pray for him. And so one Sunday night, his wife went to church and he thought, you know what? There's a nice program on TV now. It's this debate between an atheist and Reinhard Bonnke. And they're going to debate about whether, you know, Christianity is true or whether Christ is true. And so he sat in front of the TV and he thought to himself, he says, you know what? Go for it. This guy's going to tell the Christians that they are wrong. And he sat there and he was like so hard. And then he said, when he was watching that program, this is his testimony. He said he saw himself in this atheist's life. He saw himself, this ugly, terrible, hard guy. And he looked at Reinhard Bonnke's face and he saw this angel, like this bright shining. He was smiling, didn't get affected by what this guy said, knew who he was in Christ. And he said he forgot about the argument, but he saw Christ. He saw himself. He saw Christ in Bonnke. He saw just this amazing glory and he saw this ugliness of his own life. And God told him, that's you. You're losing. And he was a very successful businessman, lived in the best suburbs there in Durban, was gaining the world, but losing his soul. That's what he said. And he got saved that night. He repented before his wife came back from church. He gave his life to the Lord, or later that night, I think. And it was amazing. I think his wife must have been just amazed at God's faithfulness to reveal himself to people. Isn't that amazing? Jesus has been revealed throughout the ages, but yet today, even tonight, some people aren't in church right now, but you know what? God is still able to reveal himself to them. But Peter was preaching this. Peter said, Jesus Christ was preached to you before, revealed to you as a Jew, coming to use the Jews to reach the world. And they didn't take up that mandate. And that's why eventually God raised up the Apostle Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's why we can sit here today. Because someone obeyed the revelation and told the world about Jesus. Amen. The same Peter writes in Matthew. And Jesus asks him, Jesus said, who am I, Peter? Who do people say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? Peter says the following, four words. He says, you are Christ. You're the Son. You're the living. You're God. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, you are Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the one who's come to save the world. You are the Son. You've bridged the gap between God and man. You're a Son. You're the Son of God. And then he says, you're the Son of the living God. You are living. God is living and you are living. And then he says, you're the Son of the living God. In other words, you are God as well. That was Peter's revelation of Jesus. And then at the end of his sermon, he says the following. He goes on to preach to them about the prophets that have revealed and how the Jews are the seed of Abraham. In fact, all of us are the seed of Abraham. But he says to you people, you're also the seed of Abraham and you should be realizing that God has chosen you. Then he says, but to you first, talking about the Jew, God has come to the Jew first and then to the Greek. To you first, having raised up his servant, Jesus sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. I want you guys to see this. He starts with the revelation of Jesus as the universal one, the one who's been glorified. He's above all. He's in control of all. He's everything. Colossians talks about he's all in all. He's come for the whole universe. Everything is about him and for him and to him. Go read Colossians 1. God is awesome. He's in control. He's been glorified. Then he says he's overcome death. He's conquered death itself. And then he says he's been revealed previously throughout the ages and he was preached to you, came to you as a man. But then he says to each one of you, he's been revealed. He wants to bless you personally. Isn't that amazing? He wants to deliver you of your iniquities, not just a general thing. He wants to deliver you very specifically of all your weaknesses, all your fears, all your iniquities. He wants to bless you, Peter writes. I just see this amazing thing of Peter moving from the universal God, the God of all the ages who's come down, and then he's telling each one very specifically, no, God has come for you as an individual. God has not only come for the whole world, he's come for you very, very specially. Isn't this an amazing God that we serve? He's the God of the nations and the God of the ages and the God of everyone and everywhere and all things, but he's also the God who's come to bless us as individuals. He's come to bless us and to deliver us of our iniquities. He says here, each, every one of you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. That's not just a general thing. That's getting very specific. Isn't that amazing? That is for you, Lee. It's for you, Tanya. It's for you, Dion. It's for you, Corne. It's for you, Tim. It's individual. But the revelation starts where God is the God of the universe. God is the God of all. And he's been glorified. And so this is the Jesus who's come to save us. This is the Jesus who's come to heal us. He's come to deliver us. He's come to give us freedom personally. And when he does that, he gathers his personal little disciples together. Because he saves us individually. He doesn't save churches. He doesn't save nations. He does do that eventually, but he saves individuals. He saves each one of us, and he starts to gather us together that we may as one voice proclaim his glory. And then again, refer back to him as the one who's glorified. And when we start to have this revelation of who Jesus is, that he's this awesome God, he's the God of all, but yet he's the God of the individual. He's the God of the whole world, but yet he's the God of me, the God of you. This is the Jesus that we serve, people. This is an amazing Jesus. When you realize that this is the Jesus we serve, you know, you cannot but just thank him. You cannot but worship him. You cannot but lay down your life. Tell the world about this Jesus. And I can tell you, I didn't have this revelation when I told this guy, have you ever met the greatest man that walked the earth? But it doesn't matter. We'll grow in this revelation. But all I know is when Jesus is revealed, doesn't matter how big or how small, that revelation is important. That revelation is actually big. There's no small revelation. When we talk about Jesus, he's a big God. Amen. When we talk about him, everything's big. It's not like go small or go Jesus. It's go big, go Jesus. It's not like go small or you know, it's actually go small or go Jesus. Because you can't go small when you're going for Jesus. It's going big. Jesus is a big God. And so this evening I want the band to come forward. So I want us to praise and worship him again. Because I believe he wants to reveal himself to us in an even greater way. And that we can have a revelation. You know, Hebrews talks about not neglecting such a great salvation. It's a scary word. It says, do not neglect such a great salvation. I think many times we play church and we come to church, and church is great, but we neglect the personal salvation that each one of us have experienced in Jesus. Maybe some of you are sitting here tonight and you haven't had that personal salvation where Jesus come to save you. You're not saved because of your small group, because of your church, or because you live in the Free State or in Bloemfontein, you know, like everyone's saved, yeah? It's definitely not like that. Jesus has come to deliver you of your iniquities. He's come to bless you, to turn you away from your iniquities. And you know, when we get rid of our iniquities, it's a blessing. Amen. Isn't that amazing to be free from the bondage of sin? Can anyone say amen? It's amazing to be free of our, and yes, we still have weaknesses and we're working out our salvation and we're not perfect. But isn't it amazing when we start to thank God for what he's already done? Because many times we're always focused, and I'm the first one to, oh, what's wrong now? You know, let's focus on the things that are wrong. Let's do continuous improvement, you know. Like we're always focusing on the wrong and the what's not. Instead of saying, God, what have you done in my life? What is? What have you established? Even though I fall sometimes, you establish certain things in my life. Because you are the great and the awesome God. And tonight I want us to choose life. Because you know, Jesus said that he has come to give us. Jesus said he's come to give us and life in abundance. The devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy, and he's going to come at us all our lives. Okay, we're not going to get away from the devil until one day. And that's why we've got to keep thanksgiving. We've got to keep praising. We've got to keep thanking God for what he's done. And not only for what he's done, but for who he is. He's glorified. He's overcome death. He's revealed himself throughout the ages. And you know what? He's come to reveal himself as our healer, our deliverer, our savior personally. He's our freedom. This is the Christ. This is the Son of the living God. So I want us all to stand this evening. And I want to pray for you right now. Because we're gonna worship again. We're going to sing some songs. But we're going to sing it a little bit differently now. We're going to sing it with a revelation of who Jesus is. And I know Jesus is going to reveal himself more. Because this sermon is definitely by far not the revelation of Jesus, the full revelation of Jesus, but at least it gives a glimpse of someone, a man called Peter, who could preach to people and say, this is the Jesus who I know. This is the Jesus that raised this man and that healed this man. This is the Jesus, it's in His name that there's power. It's in His name that we can have life. It's in His name that you can have forgiveness of sins. This is the Jesus that I know, says Peter. And so that's the Jesus that we can take out when we leave here. We can tell people, this is the Son of the living God. This is Jesus. So let's pray right now. God, I just want to thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for this great salvation. Thank You, Lord, for the great revelation of Scripture. Thank You for Scripture, Lord. Thank You for Your Word, Lord. Thank You for Peter, God, who was obedient to follow You and to preach to thousands, Lord. And whose revelation is written in the book of Luke. Thank You for the Apostle Luke. Thank You for that he wrote this, the book of Acts, and he recorded all the things that You have done, God. Thank You that we can read it today as a book of life, not just a book of fairy tales. It's a book of real lives that were really changed by a real and a living and awesome God. So today, Jesus, tonight, we want to worship You, Lord. We want to say to You, we want to not sing a song tonight. We don't want to sing songs, but we want to worship You from our hearts. We want to praise You, Jesus. We want to thank You for such a great salvation. We want to thank You for saving us. Thank You for the testimonies that are in our lives.